looks like Mary.
May 13th, Friday the 13th.
It is.
For some reason, I've been too busy to have picked that up. That must, I'm losing it here. How much time do you have, Mr.
I'm here at your leisure, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We are not, I want to make an announcement as to a couple bills that we've had a couple problems with. House Bill 2766, 2792, 3045, and 3085 have a couple little things need to be fixed. The parties are working on it. We think we've got it made. We'll pick those up next week.
Could you state those again, Mr. Chairman?
They will be House Bills 2766, 2792, 3045, and 3085.
Thank you.
I believe a couple of those you might be working on, Representative Ackerman, especially the last one. I need to visit with you on that one. We're also going to move 2833 to the end, towards the end of the session today, because we're looking for some papers or some okay from the Speaker's office.
What's this one here?
Which one is that? 2833, the Federal Credit Prevention Advisory Committee is being settled at the end, someplace.
Okay.
The green line and something.
Yeah.
Work session on House Bill 2966. Representative Barker, are you going to make the motion on this one?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2966.
Representative Barker moves that we rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsideration of the vote on House Bill 2966. This is an undebatable motion. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Excellent.
Vice Chairman Fersman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. The rules have been suspended. Representative Barker?
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2966 was sent to the floor, be passed as amended, and refer to Ways and Means by prior reference.
President Barker has moved that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2966 was sent to the floor, do pass as amended, and refer to Ways and Means by prior reference. Any committee discussion? Call for the vote, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries and the vote has been reconsidered.
Mr. Chair, I move that we send House Bill 2966 to the floor with the due pass as amended and refer to the Special Committee on Budget.
Representative Barker moves that we send House Bill 2966 to the floor, do pass as amended, and refer to the Special Committee on the Budget. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries. Going to open a work session on House Bill 2313.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2313 came to you from your criminal subcommittee. We did discuss additional amendments during the criminal subcommittee hearing. Those are in the Dash 2 amendments. This is the bill that I highlighted for all of you in the email yesterday, that we were not going to have the amendments until late yesterday, so I included for you the amendment request that I had sent down so you could see sort of the general direction where we were headed. This bill initially, the original version of the bill, required, had a definition for gang member as well as gang-related activity. The Dash 1 amendments cleaned that up somewhat, but in taking into consideration some of the testimony we heard in the subcommittee hearing and in working with some of the proponents of the bill, we have the Dash 2 amendments, which essentially gut and stuff the original bill and make the Dash 1 amendments irrelevant and unnecessary. What the Dash 2 amendments do is essentially mirror California's gang street enhancement or street terrorism enhancement enforcement law, and that has been on the books in California for quite some time and has had quite a body of case law upholding it. So we decided that it was probably the safer course from a constitutionality perspective here in Oregon to model it after the California law. The most important thing that it does is it removes entirely the criminal gang member definition, and it does not, by doing that, does not punish an individual for being a gang member, which was something that the opponents were, extremely concerned about, and rightfully so. What this instead does is it defines criminal street gang, and it requires, the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the individual acted, with the intent to, for the benefit of, at the direction of a criminal street gang, or in association with a criminal street gang, and with the intent to either assist in criminal conduct by criminal street gang members, promote the criminal street gang, or further the purposes of the criminal street gang in order to have that sentencing enhancement. Additionally, the Dash 1 amendments set out that if the gang-related enhancement was found, it would take the underlying offense and raise it up two levels on the sentencing guidelines grid. There was concern about that type of sentencing enhancement because as you got over into sort of the more serious criminal history, the A and B grid block type people, that could triple, in some instances, or nearly triple, a sentence. So what I did was, again, using the California statute as the guide, just said that it would be a 24-month prison sentence. And what that means is if the underlying crime has a prison sentence, that 24 additional months would get tacked on. If the underlying crime is a presumptive probation crime, then it would be 24 months prison. Of note is that these are not mandatory minimums. That 24 months would be eligible for what we call Senate Bill 936 credits, good time, earned time, work time, and if the Department of Corrections felt it was appropriate, the people sentenced under this statute would be eligible for alternative incarceration programs.
Discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I supported the bill in the subcommittee when it came out, but as I continue to reflect on it and I think about the enhancements and about some of the downside of characterizing particular ethnic groups based on matters of dress and it raises issues, I think, of racial profiling that are not appropriate, and so I will be casting a no vote on this bill today. Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I know that there's a lot of non-ethnic gangs out there as well that I would hope that this would apply to as well, and I guess I don't see it as an ethnic issue. I see it as a gang problem, and I will definitely be voting yes, but I do have a question for Ms. Mowat, which is, does the issue that they, or the fact that they're a street gang member, come up during sentencing, or is it during the trial? When would that come up?
Representative Thatcher, I think ultimately that would be something that a judge would determine on what I would consider to be a case-by-case basis. As you know, the Blakely case came out, and the Senate has a bill to deal with Blakely sentencing enhancement factors, and it sort of separates it out to be offense-specific or offender-specific and gives the judge some discretion to determine whether it would happen in the actual trial or whether there would be a separate bifurcated sentencing hearing. And I think that this statute would be subject to those to the Blakely bill interpretations. And so I think that you know, that would be something a judge would decide in a pretrial ruling, whether that would be a bifurcated hearing or not, and it would depend on the facts of the specific case.
Okay, thank you.
Open that floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I take a little bit of exception of trying to put this into a racial or ethnic category as well. I note in counsel's staff measure summary, she does refer to the Interim Judiciary Committee's gang tour. And I was not a part of the Interim Judiciary Committee. However, I have spoken with two of the members of the Portland Gang Task Force or certain SWAT team. And when asked, their overwhelming response to what is your greatest need was not money. It was the ability to prosecute offenders. And oftentimes they are gang-related situations. Furthermore, in Clackamas County, I've had some conversations with individuals who are experts in the field of dealing with gang activity and trying to educate others in that regard. And there is a significant problem, and I think when we're considering the safety and welfare of our citizens, this is a very needed piece, and I will be supporting this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Motion on the vote.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 2213.
President Barker has moved that we adopt the -2 amendments to 2213. Any discussion on that? Any further discussion? Objections? If not, they're adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2313 as amended move to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Barker has moved House Bill 2313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2313 as amended goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Barker, would you like to carry?
Yes, I would.
And we might see if the Speaker would like to also take part in that. I'll find that out for you. Open the work session on House Bill 2390.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2390 comes to you with at least as of yesterday, unanimous vote from the criminal subcommittee, where we adopted the -3 amendments, making the -1 and -2 unnecessary. What this bill does is essentially two things. It commits a crime of refusal to identify, or it creates the crime of refusal to identify in two different situations. Situation one is where an individual has been, or is at the scene of a felony within 6 hours of the occurrence of the felony, and they refuse to give the police officer any information about them. The second situation is when a person has committed a non-vehicular traffic offense, which usually means something like jaywalking, a bicycle violation of some sort, and they refuse to identify themselves. This simply creates a violation, so the person would not ever be looking at any jail time or anything like that. The most they would get is a fine. But because it's a violation, the statute does also have to specifically provide for, and it does specifically provide for, the ability for officers to transport an individual who refuses to identify themselves for the purposes of photograph and fingerprinting, and then they must be cited and released. And the -3 were already adopted.
Okay, I have a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2390 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 2390 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Mr. Chair,
I think I'm going to be a study at inconsistency here.
I can help you with that.
I had supported the bill coming out of the sub, but I received some further information about the issues of constitutionality on the piece that requires an individual to identify themselves as a witness. Not the piece where they've been found in violation. I think that clearly there's no constitutional issue there if they're suspected of violation of a crime. But because of, I think, some serious constitutional issues about whether a person can be criminalized for having failed to identify themselves, whether they're simply a witness to another crime that they're not a perpetrator of, I will be a no vote on the bill, but I understand that the good intentions here of trying to enhance the tools that law enforcement has available.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, I've identified another, I think, serious constitutional problem, too, and that is the bill allows the, quote, detention, unquote, of a suspect, but not a suspect, but an innocent person for failing to identify himself or herself. If we assume that this is a Class A violation, it's not a crime, I don't think there's any constitutional authority to detain a person for committing a violation, which is a non-criminal offense. So what you have here is basically an unreasonable search, or unreasonable seizure, rather, of the person. I know some of you may argue that the temporary stopping or bringing someone down to the police department may not be an arrest, but I think arrest involves any substantial restriction of a person's movement by police authority, and I think this bill is condemned itself by referring to the situation as a detention, and for that reason I will oppose the bill on those grounds. I also feel that although it's intended to ask a person's identity when they have committed perhaps a violation, the citation which issues therefrom is not qualified as a citation for a violation, but could also be a citation for a misdemeanor or a felony. So I think we have a definitional problem there. And lastly, I think that if you... I have the Oregon statutes here, but there was a case, Terry versus Ohio, which has been codified in our criminal code, which does allow the stopping and temporary questioning of a person by a police officer, but the parameters of that are that the person must, the officer must have reasonable suspicion that the person has committed a crime. On that basis, a temporary stop can take place. But this threshold here this goes below that threshold, and I think, as I said, subjects a person to an unlawful arrest and unlawful detention, and is going to give rise to substantial civil liability for our public agencies that engage in this detention process.
Thank you, Chair Krieger. Representative Ackerman, I guess I just want to say that when we worked on the amendments on this, I was extremely concerned about the constitutionality of the bill, particularly in its original form. What I did, I searched high and low for a case directly on point, and by that I mean a case where an individual is a witness to a criminal act, and there is not a case on point. What I decided to do in an effort to attempt to shore up the constitutionality of this bill was increase the level of crime that the individual witnessed to a felony, and then decrease the original chargeable crime from a misdemeanor to a violation, in the hopes that down the line, when a court is reviewing this statute and weighing the community interest, which is very high in determining who witnesses are at the scene of a crime, with the temporary transport for the purpose of mug and print only, and charging a person with a violation only, so there's no jail time associated with it as to the witness themselves, that balancing act may assist the statute in withstanding constitutional scrutiny. It may not, and I have been frank with the bill's sponsors. Representative McPherson actually stopped by my office yesterday to discuss this bill with me at length as well. This, at the end of the day, is an enforcement tool for the officers, and that is why the sponsors brought the bill to this committee to be heard. And, it's just, I can't say it's unconstitutional for sure, and I think that your concerns are valid ones, but that we did what we could. I would note, for what it's worth, that legislative counsel is very good about sending memos when they think that a bill is absolutely on its face unconstitutional, and we received no such memo from legislative counsel either.
Any further discussion?
I'd just like to say, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to say this idea originated out of a case in Portland where a young girl was shot and there's a lot of witnesses and nobody would identify themselves. They're hostile to the police. And the concern of the police is that then another group might show up at trial time, which group we might call the ACME Witness Service, shows up and they make things up. So they'd just like to know at least who was there. And this law, attorney up in Portland that drafted the original one, I talked to him when we were trying to come up with something, and he was trying to align it, and he was thinking along the same terms of a witness to a car accident is required to do, has some duties there. If you're in a car and your wife does a hit and run, you're required to stop, leave names, and so on. So those laws have passed the constitutionality test, and so that's what we were shooting for here.
Any further? Okay, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And once again, I would comment, I am very concerned about taking the tools from our public safety officers, basically putting them in cuffs when they're trying to do their duty. And I'm hopeful that I will be supporting this bill, and I'm hopeful we'll get it to the floor for the debate.
Further comments? Call the roll.
No.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
I will give this a courtesy yes.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
No.
Vice Chair McPherson?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2390 is amended, moves to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Barker, you're going to be the carrier.
Thank you.
We've got about 40 minutes, folks, to get through the rest of this. How many we got left here? 15, 18?
Yep, a few.
We'll hustle.
Okay, we'll open a work session on House Bill 2972.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2972 is in response to the Blakely case that I was speaking of earlier. What this does is it modifies provisions relating to consecutive sentences. That particular portion of the bill has a sunset provision. It modifies provisions relating to the eligibility of a defendant for a reduction in sentence for leaves or releases from custody in alternative incarceration programs. And finally, it modifies provisions relating to terms of post-prison supervision for certain sex offenders. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage if the Dash 1 and Dash 3 amendments were already adopted by the subcommittee. So those are the amendments that we're working off of. This bill essentially deals with issues that the Attorney General's office is concerned the courts may find Blakely applies to. We actually heard about this bill as a full committee in Coos Bay. The Dash 3 amendments made some changes based on concerns expressed by the full committee at that time.
You've heard a description of the bill. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2972 to the floor to do pass.
And let me just clarify, the Dash 3s are in the bill now, Council. Is that
Dash 1 and Dash 3, yes, sir.
Yes, very good.
As amended.
Yeah. Okay. You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? I might just offer my own comment. I will be supporting the bill. I'm not sure that it's necessary that we do a Blakely fix, but with the sunset, I think that this is a reasonable thing to do here to see what the experience is under this modified provisions here. There's no further discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
And are you going to be the carrier?
I'll be the carrier. Okay. Open a work session on House Bill 2974.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 2974 would require notification to a crime victim when the person who committed the crime is going to be released from a mental health facility to which the person has been committed. This essentially comes up in situations where a criminal case is instituted, and as the offender moves through the criminal justice system, it becomes clear that the mental health issues overwhelm the defendant's ability to take part in what I'd call, for lack of a better term, a traditional criminal adjudication. Oftentimes what happens is an aid and assist evaluation is done and the individual is found unable to aid and assist. That inability to aid and assist will go on for so long as to not make it possible to ever adjudicate the criminal case. So usually what will happen is the state will agree to dismiss the criminal case in favor of the offender going to a hospital for mental health treatment. This bill then would require the judge having the commitment hearing to make certain findings and to put in the judgment that the victim should be notified, and from there then the hospital would notify the victim, as I mentioned already, when the person was set to be released. The mental health community was extremely concerned about this bill and worked hard to try and come to some amendments. We were hampered somewhat by the relating clause of this bill, and so they are not, I want to be frank with the committee, entirely pleased with the outcome, and so I feel it's important to note that, you know, their concern is that we are criminalizing mental health issues. We talked about that in the subcommittee, and I believe most or all of the members of the subcommittee agreed that this isn't really this isn't criminalizing the mental illness. It's recognizing that the victim's status as a crime victim is unchanged with respect to the offender's status. A victim is still a victim of a crime, whether the person who committed the crime appreciated the criminality or not.
Have a motion on the bill?
Chair, I move House Bill 2974 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
McPherson has moved the House Bill 2974 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2974 as amended moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative McPherson, if you carry, please. Open a work session on House Bill 2976.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, you may recall this bill from the full committee hearing on April 29th. This is the criminal non-support bill, and there was some concerns raised by Representative Ackerman, Representative Wirth, and I believe Representative Garrard about mens rea issues. The Dash 2 amendments incorporate the Dash 1, so we would only need to adopt the Dash 2 amendments if the committee chooses to do so. And it assigns the mental element of knowingly fails to the crime of criminal non-support. So where it says now a person can be charged with criminal non-support if they refuse or neglect to provide support for such child, it will now say the person knowingly fails to provide support for such child. The rest of the bill remains the same.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2976.
Representative McPherson has moved the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2976. Any objections? If not, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2976 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 2976 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Representative Ackerman.
Yes, I concur in Council's fix on this. It was quickly and easily done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flora?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
No.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2976, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass. Representative McPherson, you are the carrier of that.
That's fine.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to make suspend the rules and reopen House Bill 2972.
Representative Olson has moved that we suspend the rules and return to House Bill 2972. Any objections? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I realized as we quickly moved through the bill that this does have a subsequent referral to the House Special Committee on Budget. So instead of sending this to the floor and having a carrier, we need to send it to the Budget Committee.
Need a motion to do that?
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2972.
Is it 2972?
Yes, it's 2972.
I beg your pardon. We've got too many sequential digits there that are similar. Council, it's being reconsidered, so it's back in now. So we just need to. The motion is to reconsider.
Yes, Representative McPherson, to reconsider and to send to budget.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider our action on House Bill 2972 and move instead the bill to the Special Committee on Budget.
Okay, Representative McPherson has moved that we consider the vote on 2972 and send the bill to the Budget Committee. Any discussion? Not so ordered. Session on 3469.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3469 creates two crimes. The first crime is unlawfully being in a location where children regularly congregate. The second crime is unlawful contact with a child. This bill applies to predatory sex offenders, sexually violent dangerous offenders, and dangerous offenders whose underlying conviction was for a sex crime. We heard testimony about a gentleman in Portland who was, I don't want to get too detailed here because we're running out of time, but he was essentially grooming some young men on a swim team, and the parents were extremely upset when they discovered that he had multiple prior sex offense convictions and that he had been swimming and showering with their sons for a period of a few months. We did make some changes. The Dash 1 amendments are in your packet of materials. Those would need to be adopted. And with the Dash 1 amendments, my understanding is that the OCDLA at least agrees with the ODAA on the bill, and the Dash 1 amendments require the offender to have they require the offender to have the intent to commit a crime or for the purpose of arousing or satisfying the sexual desires of the person or another person. So it adds a little bit more of a mental element to the second section. It also, because we are now requiring that intent, it gets rid of the affirmative defense that was within the statute in the first place.
Need a motion on the amendments?
Mr. Chair, I'd move that the Dash 1 amendments be entered into House Bill 3469.
Representative Olson has moved the Dash 1 amendments to 3469. Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, also then I would move House Bill 3469 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 3469 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Person?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
4469 is amended, moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and Representative McPherson, carry that, please.
How we got to our piece.
Do we need to, do we do that before we open?
I'll open a work session. Open a work session on House Bill 2831.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2831.
Representative McPherson has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2831. It's undebatable. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Well, point of information, what's the purpose of the reconsideration? I don't want to debate it, but I don't understand why I should vote to reconsider.
You actually don't have to even give a vote. Let me look at your script. Why is this supposed to do the?
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2831 was passed out of the Civil Subcommittee on April 29th. It was sent to Joint Ways and Means shutdown, so it was sent back for further action here.
No, it's a different one. Well, it's a two-pager.
So we're just pulling it back out of the dark hole of Ways and Means to send it to Budget?
I think that's what it does, subsequent referral. I think it has to go to Budget instead of Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Representative Ackerman? Representative Ackerman?
I still have a point of information. Should there not be a notice of reconsideration as a prerequisite to this vote? And I don't really oppose where we're going on it, but I'm.
If they subsequent, we need a subsequent referral to it.
But we don't have a motion to do that yet, I think, is Representative Ackerman's point.
This is a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsideration.
All right.
And your vote is?
And they started the rule with Ackerman.
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Person?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Oh, you too.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries. Rules have been suspended.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2831 was sent to the floor, due pass is amended, and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. No, and refer to the Special Committee on Budget.
Chair Krieger, can I make one note on this? Between the time it was sent to Ways and Means, a revised fiscal came out. The fiscal is substantially lower, so there's not a reason to send it to Budget Committee.
Okay, you got just a minute?
Did you get a letter? Do you have the Speaker's approval to rescind the referral altogether? You have to have the Speaker's approval.
Oh, I thought that was not necessary.
No, you have to have the Speaker's approval. Just hear it next week. Yeah.
See how she reacts.
Not catch in trouble, sorry.
Not one of the speakers.
If you want to send it to budget, you don't need it. But if you want to rescind the subsequent appeal, I'll be on it.
I know. So you're bringing it back into committee and just send it to the floor.
Come back 7 days later.
And pass. Yes, I do.
You want me to get some papers and
curl to the pad?
It was denied.
You didn't say
so. It's just like it's back in committee.
Yeah, an extra one of those.
As its original bill.
No, Ringo just gave it. Increased value resulting.
So now what we're going to do is refer to
yeah, whatever the property was worth here versus what they set up for. No, it's well, it has to be on. However, I think we'd appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't.
Because there's writing.
This grabbed the state term here. This is all rescinding your motion.
About 20 million is what they're estimating.
I think I should follow on these more steps here. Mr. Chair, if I could restate my motion.
You certainly may, and everybody in the audience is trying to figure out what we're doing.
I move that we reconsider the vote.
I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, everybody's nice as well. Yeah. Same thing.
Reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2831 was sent to the floor, due pass as amended with a referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. Representative Garrard, did you have a question before going down the line, or do you want to get the process done and then have staff explain to you what happened?
I don't like any of those up there.
That's the two you have. Let's get this done and we'll run it by you. Those of the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2831 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means will say aye. Those opposed, no. To call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2831, as amended, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman? Excuse me. McPherson has moved that House Bill 2831 be sent to the floor, due pass as amended. Any further discussion? Those of the opinion that House Bill 2831 be sent to the floor with a due pass, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Motion passes. Heidi, basically what happened was we asked for the referral and we didn't get it. Right?
Do we need a carrier on that bill?
Yeah. Let's see who it was to start with.
I don't think we had one.
Do you remember who took it from sub? We didn't have a carrier because of the fact that it was going to Ways and Means.
Yeah. Did you assign a carrier from sub? On
there was no carrier because it had a
Ways and Means referral.
Up for grabs.
You voted for the bill, Representative Ackerman?
I'll take it.
Would you take it, please?
Which one is this?
73 from the top of the agenda. We're waiting on the paperwork from the Speaker's office.
Okay, we will do that at the end.
Okay.
Open work session on Senate Bill 218A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 218A allows a public servant or the public servant's employer to seek an injunction or a restraining order against a person for engaging in conduct constituting obstruction of government or governmental or judicial administration, assault, menacing, criminal trespass in the first degree, disorderly conduct, harassment, and telephonic harassment. It also permits a person against whom such a injunction or restraining order is issued to petition the court for a hearing within 30 days of the issuance of such order. As the bill that comes to you from the Department of Justice, and it passed out of the House or the Senate with a 25-1 vote.
Representative Zuckerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that Senate Bill 218A be referred to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 218A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, objections? Seeing none, call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chairman
Person?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 218A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Ackerman, I think you're going to be the carrier.
I was. Thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 219.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, our Senate Bill 219 comes to you from the Department of Justice. It passed out of the Senate with a 21-5 vote. This bill expands the authority of the Attorney General to exempt from legal review interstate and certain other intergovernmental agreements, including classes of agreements and form agreements. Right now, the Attorney General must review contracts to ensure that they are valid and not illegal, and the ability for the Attorney General to exempt contracts is very limited. This bill allows the Attorney General to expend its resources in a more efficient manner by exempting such low-risk contracts from review.
Have a motion on the bill? President Garrard?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 219 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Garrard has moved Senate Bill 219 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections, discussion? No. Call the roll, please.
Representative Beckman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 219 has been moved to the floor by Representative Garrard. Due pass recommendation does pass. And Representative Garrard, you are the carrier.
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee will stand at ease.
Chair
Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 233 comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. It passed out of the Senate unanimously. This bill makes changes in response to the juvenile code split into delinquency and dependency sections. The underlying goal of the juvenile code was reunification of family. Since the code split in 1993, the goals of the delinquency and dependency sections have diverged. The changes in Senate Bill 233A delete references to the policies of the dependency code and state the underlying policies of the juvenile code, which are accountability, protection of the public, and reduction of delinquency. Senate Bill 233A also makes several changes regarding the Oregon Youth Authority reporting process. Specifically, it deletes requirements that the OYA must submit reports every 6 months and provides that the OYA must file reports upon request by the court. Additionally, Senate Bill 233A allows the court to withhold the information from the reports from the youth offender's parents if it is in the best interest of the youth offender.
A motion on the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that Senate Bill 233A be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved Senate Bill 233A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 233A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Ackerman, you are the carrier?
Yes, thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 234A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 234A comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. It, among other things, defines what legal father is and also allows a legal parent to petition court to reopen the issue of paternity if blood tests show that there's a zero probability that the father is not the biological father. Sunsets the provisions on January 2nd, 2008 as it relates to the last provision.
Motion on the bill, please.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 234A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
President Flores has moved Senate Bill 234A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ruckerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Senate Bill 234A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Flores, you're the carrier. Open a work session on Senate Bill 237A.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 237A comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. Sets a statute of limitations in employment safety lawsuit at 1 year after the employer, prospective employee, has a reasonable cause to believe a violation has occurred.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I move we pass Senate Bill 237A to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Worth has moved Senate Bill 237A to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Duncan? Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 237A has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Worth, would you be the carrier, please? Open a work session on Senate Bill 238A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 238A comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission, clarifies that remedies for volunteer firefighters and legislators who employers discriminate against them for requesting a leave of absence as part of their official duties and for smokers who are discriminated against for smoking off the job.
Representative Garrard.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 238 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Garrard has moved Senate Bill 238 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 238A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Garrard, you're going to be the carrier.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Want to make sure the committee has some questions available that day.
That's the smoker's rights bill.
Mr. Chair, will there be visual aids?
We'll see. Thank you.
Bad lungs.
Okay, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 330A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 330A comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, allows a court reporter employed by a party to a court proceedings to charge a fee as agreed to by the parties, continues a $250 per page cap a reporter may charge a public body.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 330A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved Senate Bill 330A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion or objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Bork?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 330A moves to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Flores, would you carry, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 645A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 645A creates a statutory framework for the regulation of structured settlement agreements in Oregon that is based on the model statute, State Structured Settlement Act, and it's also similar to federal law.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate Bill 645A be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved Senate Bill 645A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, objections? not, call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 645A moves to the floor with the due pass. Representative Ackerman, could you carry?
I will, thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 953.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 953 includes personal information about a potential or actual donor to the Oregon Health Sciences University within the current exemption for similar information concerning potential actual donors to the Oregon University system.
Mr. Chair, we send Senate Bill 953
to
pass recommendation.
Representative Worth has moved Senate Bill 953 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections, discussion? Not, call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 953 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Does any Worth be the carrier? We have to go back to committee and pick up the first bill of the day, which was House Bill 2833, open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2833.
Representative Olson has moved the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2833. Motion is undebatable. Those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 23 will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Nay.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. The rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2833 was sent to the floor, due pass as amended, and referred to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Mr. Olson has moved that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2833 was sent to the floor, due pass as amended, and referred to Ways and Means by prior preference. Any discussion on the bill? Those of the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2833 was sent to the floor, due pass as amended, and refer to Ways and Means by prior preference will say aye. Those opposed, no. I'll have a regular vote, though.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Nay.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries.
Now, Mr. Chair, I move that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference on House Bill 2833 be rescinded.
There's also moves that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference on House Bill 2833 be rescinded. Any committee discussion? Those of the opinion that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference on House Bill 2832 be rescinded will say aye. Those opposed, no. Let's do it by the vote.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Nay.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Motion carries.
And then finally, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2833 to the floor with a due pass as amended for recommendation with due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2832 to the 33 to the floor with a due pass amended recommendation. Those of the opinion that we should send House Bill 2866 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation will say aye. Those opposed, no. Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative
Flores?
Aye.
Representative
Ferrar? Question. I thought we were on 2833. You decided the wrong number just before the vote. We are on 2833, and you said 29. Yeah. No, we'll just thank you just when you call.
All right, 2833, yeah.
Thank you.
I guess that's because the other part of the motion is from the other bill.
Oh, sorry.
Nay.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Person?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Carrier, Representative Thatcher, were you the carrier originally on the sub before it went to the Ways and Means?
Yes, I was.
Okay, thank you.
I'm done.
That's it.
Are you done?
We are going to be having, over the next week, probably 20-plus bills with some amendments. It's very important this next week that if you are not in the sub, that you, you sit in one sub, if you're not in the other one, that you avail yourself of the information of what's in those bills. If you have concerns, contact the chair, contact staff, so I have some idea if there is a concern that we can address with an amendment, or at least I know what the vote would be ahead of time, please. And we are adjourned and supposed to be on the floor in a couple